Tell me what your proposal is this time.
Well, our proposal is in the legislation that's been introduced by Representative Woolley in the House and Senator Hinojosa in Wentworth in the Senate that authorizes slot machines at the 13 existing horse and dog tracks as well as the 3 Indian reservations in Texas.
Okay, so you'd allow it in places that are licensed but not operating right now?
That's correct.
Okay. And tell me why this is a good idea. I mean, what's the policy pitch on this?
Well, I think the policy pitch is, one, you have an industry today, the horse racing industry and the dog racing industry in Texas, that made significant investment based on a certain contract with the state and an economic picture in all the states around us. And as that picture has changed in the states around us, we're now on an unlevel playing field. Furthermore, so what we're asking for is to level that playing field. Furthermore, beyond that, we're talking about a significant new revenue stream for the state, both in this biennium and in future bienniums. So we're talking about, at full implementation, $1 billion a year to the state. We're talking about, you know, tens of thousands of new and permanent jobs, new construction jobs. So this is a real economic development opportunity for the state of Texas as well.
Is the idea here that the tracks that aren't up and operating would open because the slots are available?
The legislation, as it's introduced, does call for the tracks to be up and running within 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And or they'd lose their license and it would go to somebody else? Or?
You know, I'm not sure on how that would be handled.
Okay. Tell me why not casinos now?
That's an interesting question, and it's one we get all the time. A couple of things. One, you know, this is, we've committed to Representative Woolley, Senators Hinojosa, and Wentworth that, you know, we'll stand behind their legislation. We're kind of focused on what the racetracks need and what the surrounding states have done. So we know that they have slot machines in those states, that's helped. There is kind of another couple answers, I think, to your question. One is, what about, you know, do you guys, as long as it's level playing field, that's really what's of utmost importance to us. That said, there's maybe a misperception sometimes that what we would do at the racetracks is different than what a quote-unquote freestanding casino might do. And the truth is, particularly where the Class 1 horse tracks are located, Grand Prairie, Houston, San Antonio, is that it's all about market potential. And so if it was our intention to just shove a bunch of slot machines into Sam Houston Race Park's existing grandstand, I think that would be warranted. But what we have in our plans to develop are first-class facilities, hotels, you know, lifestyle destination types of amenities.
Mm-hmm. So it would look, you know, help me out a little bit here. It would look like a casino. It would look like, you know, Vegas without the poker tables?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, we're not the first state to be talking, having this discussion. There are 38 states in the country that now have this type of gaming. And we could take you around to, you know, Pennsylvania, Florida, places all over the country that have done this, where you walk in and literally you would, if I put a blindfold on you, you wouldn't know if you were in Las Vegas or a local kind of regional casino like we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Then why not, I guess, why not go ahead and do the last step and say, let's go ahead and do this and also allow all the other table games?
You know, really, ultimately, that's going to come down to as a policy decision for the legislature. The reality is that about 85% of revenues in a regional casino come from slot machines. So our proposal reflects kind of getting the most that you can for the state while still kind of limiting maybe, you know, what some might perceive as a grand expansion.
Right. Okay. Why do you think now is the time? I mean, there's the argument that the state's in fiscal trouble and they could use the money.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some resistance in the legislature, just sort of native resistance to gaming bills. It takes a while for these to come around. I think it's, you know, it's 20 years since we passed one, right?
Yes.
So what's different this session? What's different environmentally?
Well, I think what's different is really the first thing you mentioned, which is, one, you know, there's a structural deficit within the state, and what we're proposing is not the panacea, but it is part of a solution that can be generated to deal with that structural deficit. Beyond that, I think, you know, as the markets around us in Texas have matured, you know, 40% of Texans have been to a casino or a racetrack in the more than 40% in the last 3 years, and we don't have any of them here in Texas, with the exception of some, you know, a couple of racetracks. So I think that tells you that Texans are already participating. You know, I live in Houston. You can't drive more than 10 minutes without seeing a billboard for Lake Charles, Louisiana. So I think folks in Texas are either gaming already, or they recognize it's happening. So let's stop, you know, exporting that money and bring it back home.
Mm-hmm. You talked about a contract that the state has. Mm-hmm. Describe that a little bit. What are you talking about?
Well, that's probably, you know, probably not the best use of the word contract. But what I would say is we entered into an agreement with the state, and that agreement to operate Paramutual at the racetracks was pretensed under the idea that that was the playing field across the country. In the 20 years since then, Louisiana, Oklahoma, New Mexico have all authorized slot machines at their racetracks. What they do is take a portion of that money and that revenue stream and allocate it to purses. So what they've done is essentially hijack our product. So all of the good horses, the good trainers, the good owners have left the state of Texas and are now doing business in those states.
And you think this would, and I'm assuming your legislation would have the same predicate, that some of the money goes to purses, some of this, you have to keep running the horses, you have to keep running
absolutely, the horses. Absolutely, absolutely. And without a doubt, overnight, I think we'd be talking about, you know, the most successful horse racing industry in the state, and I'm sorry, in the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Legislatively, do you think it'll play this time? I mean, you know, you go talk to the legislature, and they've always got, you know, kind of hemming and hawing going on. They've got all of these reasons, but if you kind of assess what's going on up at the Capitol, do you think this year, how would you assess the chances?
You know, I think the chances are good, and we have to keep pushing for this because it's what our industry needs. We need a chance and an opportunity to level the playing field with those states around us, and, you know, we're optimistic that, you know, we have a fiscal note from the comptroller that says, you know, there's over almost $500 million there for this biennium, as well as what we would bring in future bienniums. So we know that that's not insignificant. And in fact, you know, I'm not sure of another revenue generating proposal that doesn't involve new taxes like that out there.
Okay. Two more. There's this either perceived or real sort of animus within the industry, kind of between the casino guys and the racetrack guys, this proposal versus that proposal. Does that set you back in terms of getting legislative approval?
You know, I don't think it does, as long as we're honest and forthright about what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to level the playing field. We're trying to stay in the lane that we know. Mm-hmm. And that we're committed to building, you know, the best facilities that the markets demand. So to the extent there's a will for more, that's really a policy decision for the legislature. We're going to stay and talk about the things that we know best.
Okay. And the last one is, if this was approved, how fast would you guys be up?
That's a great question. If this were approved, we would be up and running at Sam Houston, for example, within 8 months of the legislation passing.
Of the legislation or the constitutional amendment?
I'm sorry, of the constitutional amendment passing. We could be up in about 8 months. Mm-hmm. Some folks might even be able to make it up sooner than that, some a little bit later. But based on what we've seen happen in other states, we're very confident that we can deliver quickly.